prophet said. And her oil and meal did not run out for that whole time. So it goes, it's the same way with us. If we're just obedient, he promised he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to contain it. So, with that being said, a couple of announcements. Bake sale this Sunday. No, either bake something or buy something or bake it and buy it. All right, you bake something, buy somebody else's and so forth. And no peanut products. Yeah, if you can't bake, you could go to LaScala's and buy like cannolis and stuff like that. We're open. You know, anyway. And whatever you want. And it's for the youth and the children's department. All right, so whatever comes in, they're going to split down the middle. Amen? And then we have Family Sunday this week. So I don't know what Angela's cooking yet. Angela don't know what she's cooking yet, but it'll be something. Okay, let's keep it a secret. All right. So anyway, but there's going to be volleyball, ping pong, and if anyone wants to play cornhole, we got cornhole things. We got the whole thing out there. So come on out and be part of that. And the last thing, don't forget Faith and Family Night at the Blue Claw Stadium, Tuesday, June 27th. Sign-up sheets in the back. Adults are $10. Seniors are $8. And we're going to have a great time that night. All right? Last time we went, we had a really, really super-duper great time. All right. Thank you for that. Hearty amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it'll fall on good soil, Lord. We thank you for the anointing that's in this place tonight. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, and that people will not leave here the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we established the fact that there are two ministries of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would come upon us. He would infill us. His two major ministries are the born-again experience, being born again, and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to move on tonight, all right? I want to read from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. And I actually started off with these, and then we just went around and started doing some other stuff. But in verse 27 of Proverbs, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart." And I say that, and it was, you know, last night the men were here, and we were watching a video of Kenneth Hagin Jr., and it was how to navigate in the adventures of life. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's using my verses of scripture there last night. So he was talking about navigating all through life and everything like that, and I know you were at the men's conference, right? You were out there, and so it was just... It was good. So we watched the video last night, and I'm thinking, guys, preaching, you know, he's just saying a little different thing. Told a lot of stories. Took him an hour and a half, but it was good anyway. But anyway, so we want to talk about being led by the Spirit, all right? It's important that we're led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And as the children of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we can be expected to be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to say this right off. I'll probably get into it later on. Being led by the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you all the time. There will be instances when you will perceive things that you should do or you shouldn't do. It's not an audible voice, and we're going to get into this in a lot of detail as we go on. But there's the perception. You know, it could be as simple as going down the street, and you usually make a right-hand turn, but you feel something on the inside of you that tells you to go left. Okay? So that's perception. Holy Ghost didn't come down and tell you make a left turn or make a right turn. And so we have to learn how to differentiate between those scenarios in our life also. So, you know, but we, as the children of God, need to have those things happen in our life. You know, I had a situation today that happened to me, and I went down to do something, and I'm down there, and I'm going through all the motions, signing all these papers. And the whole time I'm doing this, I'm saying something inside that don't do this. But I did it, okay? But going home in my car, I just did not have peace about this whole scenario and went back and undid what I was supposed to do, what I was doing. You know, so we need to like really, and you know, when you think about it, I could have been out a whole lot of money, you know, maybe not, but I just had this perception that, you know, the Holy Ghost wasn't standing next to me going, hey, don't do that, you know, but it was something on the inside that I knew I shouldn't be doing. And every one of us, if we have the Spirit of God and we're born again, he tells us a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing. Yeah. We perceive things we shouldn't be doing. You know what? We go do it anyway, and we get ourselves in trouble. Then we have to have emergency prayer meetings. I got to fix this. Wait a minute. Getting back to Proverbs chapter 20, it says that our spirits, well, the spirit of man, the spirit in you is the lamp of the Lord. One translation says light bulb. One says candle. And this is telling us that God will guide us through our human spirits as it's indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he'll guide us and enlighten us. He will do that. I picked up my grandkids the other day, and they were talking about the Illuminati. He goes, what's the Illuminati? I said, I can't tell you that. They go, why? I said, because I'm one. Tell them, my grandkids, and they're going, but my teacher says they're a very powerful group of people. I says, you know what an Illuminati is? So then I said, let's Google it. They said, Google it. I says, all it means is to have an illumination of something, some kind of knowledge. I said, it's nothing special. You make a big deal out of it. He says, when you go in a bedroom, you turn the light on and it illuminates the room. Technically, a light bulb's an Illuminati. And they looked at me and they go, oh, okay. But the problem is we don't often seek guidance. We often seek guidance by other means, all right, other than the way God said to do it. When we do that, again, we get ourselves in trouble. I could think I've never hit it 100 on all 8 cylinders. I've made mistakes. My wife has made, we've done things. We shouldn't have done it because we sometimes judge on how God is leading us by what our physical senses are telling us to do. And nowhere in the Word of God does it say you'll be led by your mind or your physical senses. It doesn't say that. It says that you'll be led by the Spirit of God. So it's important that we start moving in the. And let me tell you something. Thank God for the physical senses because we need them. We need our mind. We need our physical senses. And the reason I say this is because people get goofy on you. You know, all of a sudden it's no more like, you know, physical senses and no more mind. Well, if that's the case, you go out, you put your hand on a stove and you're just not being led by your physical senses, you're going to have a burn. If you don't be led by your intellect sometimes, you walk out there on 571 and the truck's coming, you're dead. All right? But the primarily the way God wants to lead us is through our spirit in our lives. When it comes to finances, everything, okay? Again, and we look at things from this mental standpoint, and then we try to reason it out. Why I shouldn't do it, why I should do it. This is what we try to do. Even when it comes into the area of giving, it's like, you know, Lisa gave the testimony. It's like, well, a reason, we got to go shopping. I can't give that away. I got to go shopping. I don't know what's going to happen. But you don't know what God's going to do. So we try to reason why we can't do something. All right? And that's the, but the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. The verse says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, a lamp of the Lord, the light bulb of the Lord. Psalm 119 says his words give us light. They light our path. And before we could understand, you know, it's not something, how he leads us, and how he guides us. You know, it's not something you just learn. You're going to sit in this service, and you're going to go out here, and you're going to hit 100% every time. It's not going to happen. It's a journey. And every day is a journey. And we don't want to throw out our senses. We don't want to throw out our intellect. but we want to be led by the Spirit. And I've seen it over the years, 33 years pastoring and 40 years saved. I've seen people decide they're going to be led by the Spirit, and they have made a wreck of their life. I'll give you an example. And this is in the area of faith. We're a faith. How many believe we're a faith church? Okay. You believe me? Okay. See, that's faith right there. Anyway, years ago, when we first started this church, we didn't have an office or anything. My rec room was my office. And a person came to our house and said God was leading them to quit their job and live by faith. I said, okay, well, praise God. I said, But then on the other hand, they needed $500 to pay their electric bill. It was both of us. Anyway, so we're going like, God's not going to tell you to quit your job and you've got to pay your electric bill. I said, you might ask God to pay your electric bill. He says, well, I came here to ask you for help to pay my electric bill. So this thing went on and on and on for a while. My wife was talking to this person, I wrote the check. I said, if you go get a job, I'll pay your electric. And she says, no, I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm not going to do it. That was stupidity. That's not being led by the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there will be times, and Kenneth Hagin Jr. said it last night in the video that we were watching. He said he was pastoring, assistant pastor of his father-in-law's church, Brother Tipton, and he was like, he preached twice a week. He did everything, but he was not the senior pastor. And he started, like months before that, getting in his heart that he had to leave there and go work with his father in Tulsa. And they didn't have Rhema Bible Training Center. They were just an evangelistic association that traveled all around. And he struggled with that because he had a good job. Yeah, he would be eventually take over the church. But he went with what God was telling him to do. He said, I got to Tulsa, took a cut in pay, and all I did was lug cassette tapes all over the country and set up the meetings for my father and break down the meetings for my father. Lived in a motorhome. Lynette drove the motorhome. I drove a tractor trailer. He said, and I'm thinking, God, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. And he thought he missed God, but he knew that he knew that. It wasn't that he was out on the street and he had no money and everything like that. God didn't tell him to quit. God told him to change. And he changed his job. Then one night, Brother Hagin, they were on Peoria when they used to meet out there. Brother Hagin didn't even know he said it. He said, but God told me to start a Bible school. And Kenneth Hagin Jr. said, when he heard those words come out of his father's mouth, he knew that's why God had him there. And the rest is history. Okay. Then he even shared mistakes he made. You know, they have 100 and some Bible training centers around the world today. And when we went to school, they were really just starting RMAI, the Rhema Ministerial Association. There were no other Bible schools except the one in Tulsa. And I think it was in 1990 he started one. And then he tried just Africa, South Africa, Rhema Kolle. That was really the first Rhema outreach kind of church there was years ago. And then he said he went out and he started two or three of them, and they failed. Now, you got to admit, he's talking to a bunch of guys. I don't know if you remember him telling a story when you were out there, right? But he said he missed it. He said God told them they're going to have training centers. But he went ahead of God. And so often we do that because we'll get something in our heart. And instead of waiting on God, and finally it wasn't until 1999 when they started planning Rhema Bible training centers all around the world. And by the time Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord, I think they had 43 of them. Now they have 100 and some Bible training centers on 52 continents or countries. So my point is, We have to be learn. Just because God tells you to do something doesn't mean he wants you to do it right now. You know, when I first got saved, I knew God wanted me to go into ministry. Newsflash, I knew nothing about a ministry. You know, I didn't know what God was going to do. I just had to go step by step. You know, all right, go to Bible school. I didn't even know what Bible school to go to. I didn't even know. I only knew Christ for the Nations. And I didn't have a go to go there. And it was strange. I was reading in a magazine and saw a prior to that place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Raymond Bible Training Center. Knew nothing about it. Prior to that, we've seen Kenneth Hagin Jr., and we were out in Altoona, Pennsylvania at a big camp meeting type of situation. There was all kinds of preachers there. Every big preacher was there. He was there. Nobody knew him. He didn't even get on the big platform. They had him preach underneath a tree. Yeah, a true story. And we sat there and listened to him minister. And I said, this guy is saying some stuff that I've never heard before. And that was it. We went home. That was the end. I never heard of him again until I walked in. Tony and Joanne Morano had a Christian bookstore. They're not here tonight, but walked in their bookstore and I saw a book said Kenneth Hagin. I said, that's the guy from up in the woods. You know, to my own head, right? And I bought the book, I brought it home, I turned it over, I said, this ain't the same guy. And I said, this guy's old. So I brought it back to Tony and I said, this ain't the guy, man. He said, oh, he says, that's the father. You'll love him. So I bought every book that they had in the bookstore. And that day, Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s first book came out, and they just released it because of Jesus. And that book came. And that's how we kind of like got hooked up and going to Rhema. But God led that whole scenario, not me. You know, because I didn't even when I went to Rhema, and we were in Bible school, you know, it wasn't like it is today. And I just volunteered for everything. To the point where they asked me, they actually had a meeting, and my name got called out, and they said, report to the dean's office. And my wife is sitting next to me. She goes, what'd you do? I says, what did I do? I don't know anybody. What could I have done? So she says, well, you better go. So and I went, and I did. I volunteered for everything. I even applied for a job and told them I don't even want to get paid. And they like that kind of like freaked them out. And you, when Pastor Hagin comes, you could tell. I walk in this room and it's Lynette Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Jr., Aretha Hagin, Brother Hagin, and the dean. And they said, sit down. They said, I don't know how old the school was back then. And they said, we've never, ever had anybody volunteer for everything. And this is the gospel truth, man. And they said, and we never had anybody apply for a job and not want to get paid. They go, so what's the deal? I says, well, you might find this a little bit strange. I says, but I believe God called me to come to Bible school. I don't know what God has for me. We're there a month. I says, I don't know anything. This is all new to me. I says, but if God's called me to the ministry, I figure the only way I'm going to learn about the ministry is to get involved in it and work and volunteer and see how things work. I says, because I don't need the money. Money's not an issue. I don't have to go to work after school like everybody else does. I could work for you for free. And they said, well, we'd rather give the job to somebody that needs it. I said, oh, all right, good. I said, but I said, whatever you need me to do, here I am. Me and my wife are available. And that's how it really ticks me off. Amen. Just saying. But that's how it started. And from that, I said, listen, I'm in the video game business. It's the whole different country from the ministry. I said, the only thing I know how to do really good is count quarters. I says, I'm real good at it, faster than a machine. And they were laughing and ended up recovering their pool tables at the school. I said, now I know how to recover pool tables. And Junior goes, we got a few over there that need to be recovered. I said, well, okay. I called up, and they sent me all the stuff, and we recovered the pool tables. But I was willing to do anything we can, anything, and was led by the Spirit of God. Okay, and everything that we've done, and I became an usher, and I became a head usher. Not they had a lot of head ushers. Became a head usher. Was there when we were there. If there was a meeting, at Brother Hagin was doing a meeting, and the meeting started at 7, you could bet your bottom dollar we were there at 5:30, 5:45, sitting and praying in every seat because people were coming there to get ministered to, and we were praying the place up. You say, what's this got to do about the being led by the Spirit? A whole lot. Because if you're not willing to do them, you're not going to hear the Holy Ghost tell you to do anything. And so we used to get there. You ask my wife every Sunday night, where are you going? Got to go over there, man. My turn to make the coffee. You know, and I'd walk around. And I had a whole big section. And I'd pray over that section. I'd walk around it 50 times. I said, who's ever coming in here tonight is going to get ministered to. God's got something for them. And so that's really important. So before we could truly understand how God does leads us and guides us through our spirits, we have to understand our nature. Okay? We have to understand that, number one, you're a spirit. Everybody say, I'm a spirit. Now, some of you might know this already, and that's good for you. It won't hurt you to hear it again. All right? But we're a spirit, and that we have a soul, and we live in a body. We're a trichotomy. We're a three-part being. All right? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says that, and then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, he created them. We are a spirit being. You want to know why? Because God's a spirit being. All right? We were created in the image and in the likeness of God. But then man sinned. But he was still created in the image of God. It's just that now he served a different master. He broke that fellowship, that spirit died, that spiritual connection to God was done away with. And we know John 4:24 says God is a spirit. So man, out of necessity, has to be a spirit in order to communicate with God when he's born again. It's just the way it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that tells us that he would sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit. We are a spirit. We have an intellect, and we live in the body. But it's the spirit that's eternal. Your spirit never dies. All right? It never dies. Paul even brings this out in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, he says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul is speaking of physical death there. Paul was going to live whether he was in his body or out of his body. If he lives in the flesh, he could teach the church at Philippi and be a blessing. But Paul said, if I depart, and underline the word I, if I depart and be with Christ, it's much better. But I'm going to stay here because it's needful for you. And I am going to depart. He wasn't talking about his body. His body wasn't going to depart. His body was going to go into ground. And Paul is talking about the inward man. The 1 Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart. And that's the spirit. That's what lives inside of us. That's the real us, is our spirit. Some teach when a person dies, they're dead and that's the end, right? Some say that when a spirit departs, it comes back like a cat or a dog or a cow. Incarnation, your reincarnation. That's not scriptural. You need to stick with the Word of God. you know, and you'll never go wrong. Paul said, I am going to depart and I'm going to be with the Lord, which is far better. Amen. And Paul preached the same truth in every church he went to. And then he says, here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. The inward man. You know how your inward man is renewed? By reading the Word of God, yes. By praying in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't get renewed if you're watching TV 10 hours a day. If you're reading Newsweek magazine and People magazine and all these other magazines, your spirit's not getting renewed. The only thing that's getting reinforced in your life is your brain to think contrary to what the Word of God says. And is there anything wrong with watching television? No. Is there anything wrong with reading People magazine? I don't know. I think it's garbage, but you know what I mean? I don't think it'll send you to hell or anything like that. You know, and it's the other thing. I'll tell you, being here, you people are blessed because you're in church tonight. Amen. You know, Pastor Hagin brought something out there last night. He said, you know, summer comes, churches empty out because people are too busy. They want to go to the beach. They want to go here. They got to do this. They got to do that. And really what they're telling their children, I'll give you an example, golf. I like golf. But I don't know how many people on a Sunday morning, fathers go golfing instead of coming to church. And you know what they're teaching their kids? Golf is more important than God. Nothing wrong with golf. Nothing wrong with the beach. Not a thing wrong with the beach. But when you put the beach ahead of God, you got a problem. Now, I'm not saying occasionally, like, you take off and go. But I'm telling people, Sunday morning, that's my kids, when they were growing up, were not allowed to play Pop Warner football. You want to know why? One reason only. And people get ticked off at me every time I say it. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't care. So you could get over it. But they weren't allowed to play. You know, want to know why? Because practice was Sunday morning. I remember St. Joseph's Pop Warner football team. And they said, no. I said, they can't play. Because if I let them play football on Sunday morning, I'm telling them football's more important than God. And they said, well, they can go to different masses. I said, we don't go to Catholic church. We don't have 10 masses a day. We got one, 10 o'clock. And that's where they're going to be. They can come after church, not a problem. And people say, that's hard. Get a grip, man. That'd be as hard as it wants. It's the truth anyhow. So don't lose heart because the inward man, and we have to keep our inward man groomed. How many guys shave every day or every other day? How many women shave your legs under your arms? Seriously. I'm sure there might be some that don't, but wait, you're grooming yourself. You're grooming your outer man, and there's nothing wrong with that. Dear God, I hate to see a smelly person all, like, disheveled and stuff. God wants us clean, but we need to, you know, maintain ourselves. But we need to groom our inner man the same way. We need to give it more priority. You know, because this is not you. This is your garage. This is where your spirit's. This isn't you. Your inward man never grows old. And it's renewed, just what we said. It's renewed day by day. You know, I'll tell you what. Take your spirit out of your body, you're going to collapse. You know, I always use the illustration. I usually bring a pair of gloves up. Gloves are nothing. You can fling them around, throw them, but you stick your hand in there, and all of a sudden that glove becomes alive. It's animated. But the glove, that's the hand in the glove that's giving it life. It's your spirit that's animating you and having you go. And the only way, what thing you could do to communicate with God is to communicate through your spirit. Because God is a spirit. And we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So, our spirits. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. 16 tells us again, gives a little more insight. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So the Spirit of God witnesses with the spirit of man that we're the children of God. You know, it's interesting. Nicodemus, he was a nice guy. Jesus went in his tomb, all right? But listen, he wasn't the smartest knife in the drawer. Because he only understood things through the natural. He says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, being natural, could only think natural. And he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Obviously, Jesus wasn't talking about physical birth. He said, that which is, Jesus in verse 6 says, that's which is of flesh, is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you receive Jesus, you are born of the Spirit. Amen. All right? And in your Bible, if you read, as a matter of fact, let's turn over to John chapter 3, verse 6. I want you to look at something here. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit, capital, it's the Holy Spirit, is spirit, little s, meaning the human spirit. So our human spirits are born of his spirit. Our spirit receives eternal life. Listen, I don't care who you are. If you're born again or you're not born again, your spirit's living forever. You have the choice of where it's going to live. It's either going to live in heaven with God or it's going to live in hell with the devil. It's the only two options we have here. You don't come back around a second time as a cow, try to make it right. You just don't do it. It's not going to happen. All right? But we receive eternal life, the life of God. The nature of God. We're a new creature in Christ. Paul calls it the inward man. Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart. They're both the same. And really, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's also speaking of the spirit. All right? Now, I'm going to do this because some of you people who like to study the Greek, people get confused. We have to understand something. Heart and spirit are synonymous most of the time in the New Testament. They are two different Greek words. The Greek word for heart is where we get cardia. It's where we get cardia from. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. But you have to see how that is being used in the verse. All right? So, they're two different Greek words, but for your study, when you read the Word of God, don't worry about it, looking it up in the Greek, because they are 99.9% of the time interchangeable. All right? So when you see heart or you see spirit, it's all talking about the human spirit. The hidden man of the heart. Actually, I can get into a whole teaching here about the hidden man of the heart. I did it couple of times, because the hidden man of the heart is the word cardia. It's not the word spirit. So then that makes people I read in it. But in your spirit, in your heart, it's talking about your center, is your conscience and your spirit. It's a whole nother teaching, okay? But your heart and your spirit, your conscience and your spirit travel together. So people say, well, I know anybody when I get to heaven? Do you know them now? You're going to know him there. Because you will have your intellect will be with you. So, and that's in hidden man, that's one instance, that hidden man of the heart. It's talking about the actual physical heart. But still, it's your spirit. Okay. That's why it's so, oh gosh. See, I get all twisted. Like, I want to start teaching something else right now.
It's okay.
No, it's. That's why we have to renew our minds. You know, our conscience of a person who's not born again is not a safe guide. But the conscience of a person that is saved is a good guide. Now, let's hear what happens. You have your spirit and you have your conscience. And your spirit is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your conscience is controlled by your five senses. So therefore, if you do not renew your mind will control what you do. Because your spirit has to have more information in it. It has the Holy Spirit, but you need to train. That's another one. We'll talk about training the human spirit too. You have to train the human spirit to when those five sense things come at you, you got to say, whoa, wait a minute. And if you have a weak spirit that's not being fed the Word of God, that's not being groomed properly, then you can't hear. Your conscience, actually, your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. And if you're not filling your spirit, the conscience, your conscience is getting information from your brain, which is not renewed. It's not renewed. Ain't listening. I don't like the competition. I got too much competition in that corner. Anyway. So getting back, that the real man of the heart is our spirit. And that's important. I don't know if I've confused you or what with it, but still, the thing about it is, the voice of the human spirit is your conscience. And if your spirit is not strong enough, it's going to hear from your five senses. Your conscience will hear from your five senses. Ooh, that looks good. Ooh, I think I'll try that. And it can go in every area of your life. Food, money, sex, you name it. It'll just go roll. Your five senses will just roll, get you to do the wrong things that you shouldn't do. Even though you're saved, people say, why do saved people do bad things? Really simple. They don't renew their mind to the Word of God. It doesn't get any simpler than that. There's no magic potion, no magic formula. They just don't renew their mind. Thank you for that hearty amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to end right there tonight because I didn't even get partway. Well, no, I am done. Oh, let's wait. Okay, another minute. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We'll close with this verse of Scripture. It says, therefore, if any man, if anyone, say anyone,
anyone,
is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's just talking about the inner man. It's because when you're born again, you become a new creature. You don't get a new body. All right? The outward man is just like it was before. As a matter of fact, your mind, your five senses are the same way too. All right? The thing about it is that the minute a person gets saved, something supernatural happens and they're good for like the first month. Then all of a sudden, the five senses take over and they start sliding to the wrong way. But the outward man doesn't change. Your five senses don't change. God does not do anything with you. If you're bald, you're bald. All right? But listen, you find out from reading the Bible what you're supposed to do, what your outward man, and then you do it. See, that's the ticket. God does something with the inward man, and he makes it new on the inside, and then you have to do something on the outside. That he's done the hard part. Yes. He's recreated your spirit. Yes. So now it's up to you to see what the word says and change. Amen. You know, and next week we're going to talk about being spirit conscious. Like I said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Real quickly, you come up here. Like I said, your spirit, with the day you received Jesus Christ, instantly changed, brand new, not a spot or wrinkle in it. Your mind is getting renewed every single day. Every time you read the Word of God and you see what the Word of God says about you, your mind is getting renewed. Your flesh, your body, will not get a new body till Jesus comes back. Then you get a new body, a resurrection body. So right now, we're on a journey. We need to get our spirit, our mind in line with our spirit, start thinking the way God thinks, and then this body will line up with us on the earth, and one day we'll have a new resurrected body that won't be subject to any of the stuff that's out here. But until that time, you need to deal with your flesh every day. Every single day. When the alarm goes off and you don't want to get up, you got to make it get up. That's the way it is, you know? And it says that was this morning. That's every morning with me, I'll tell you the truth. But still, you want to eat the extra piece of cake and you know you shouldn't. That's a perception from the Holy Spirit. Don't eat it. But the flesh is strong because it looks good. It's got chocolate on top. I had an addiction. You can come up here, brother. I had an addiction one time. It was an ice cream addiction. Oh, no. It's not going to happen. I used to pull out of this parking lot and drive to Mrs. Walker's on Fisher Boulevard. And I didn't have to get out of my car. I just had to go to the back door, and they had my sundae waiting for me. That's an addiction, friend. Right? What did I do? Hon? Care. I used to pull out, go to Mrs. Walker's, come home, my hot fudge ice cream sundae with wet nuts on it. And peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
The boys want me to tell you that they were talking about the spirit.
Good. Teal. Go with the flow.